Throughout all of history, they've only talked about the fame, never the hard work, never the elbow grease, never the early call time.
Early call time. It's been a long time since you've heard my voice.
Yeah.
This is Nadav. Yeah. I'm sorry for slacking.
Good morning, early call time.
Yeah, you guys tried that on the last one, huh?
And it worked this time, too.
If you say so.
I forget. What happened the first time that it didn't work? Did you forget the name of the show?
Yeah.
Did you start with Viet and then you just like, good morning, Viet, early call time.
I can't remember. It's been a while. Yeah.
So today, we're going to say the Jewish prayer for first times. Shehechianu v'kiyamanu v'higianu l'zman hazeh. Why?
We'll edit that out. It's fine.
Why will we do that?
I don't know.
Why?
Is that like things are about to go really bad and so we have to prepare?
No, we had
prayer? We're all gonna die.
We had our first bailout, so we are going to our plan B and realize we never interviewed Andrew, so that's what we're gonna do today.
Oh.
Hey, how about we turn off the fan?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too comfortable in here. Yeah, after 63 episodes.
Yeah.
We had a good track record.
That's like a year. That's like more than a year's worth of episodes.
It is.
Without a cancellation.
Yeah.
We've had
people cancel, but.
But like days in advance.
Yeah.
So.
People are responsible.
Yeah, some people most aren't. Most of the time. I feel like we shouldn't say who it is just so that we don't damage their career.
No, because or she feels very terrible and said that he or she would bring us gifts next
well,
time.
Well, he or she should feel terrible and he or she should bring very expensive gifts.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever.
I would like a boat.
Anywho.
Yeah, and any hoozleberries. So our guest today is...
You already announced it, so it's kind of a...
It's Andrew Zuber.
I'll do it again. It's Andrew Zuber.
Oh.
Andrew, how do we know you?
Actually, do you like sitting on that part of the couch?
On this side of the couch?
Yeah, do you like sitting on the couch?
Yeah, kind of. Why? Yeah. It's comfortable.
You look very unnatural.
I feel...
You look uncomfortable.
I always look that way.
You have pieces of leather on your face.
Yeah.
Really? Already?
I helped carry this couch in here. I don't get to sit on it nearly enough.
It's a comfortable couch.
How does it feel now that you're here? Did you ever think you'd get here?
I assumed that at some point I would, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
I didn't actually book a guest for today. This was all a plan.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, man, he can't show up. He doesn't exist.
Or she.
Or it. I was actually, I booked the dog from...
My dog, Skip.
No.
No,
we don't have that kind of...
Wishbone?
No, man.
The Target dog?
No.
The Taco Bell dog?
No.
What other dogs are on there?
Keep naming dogs.
What's the one with the Owen Wilson movie?
Marley and me?
Marley. Yeah, Marley.
No, I booked the dog from The Artist.
Oh.
Also dead.
What about the one from...
Recently.
The one about the dog that kills people?
Cujo?
That's it.
I feel like Cujo is really dead.
Yeah.
Well, he's gotten the death penalty probably, killed so many people. You guys saw that movie? I saw that way too young, and I got very scared. I thought all Rottweilers were just death machines.
They are. Because they are.
I did. The first time I ever saw a Rottweiler was in elementary school, and it ran in the parking lot and attacked a little girl.
But that wasn't a Rottweiler. It was a St. Bernard.
Wait, what? In Cujo?
Yeah, Cujo was a St. Bernard.
You're thinking of Beethoven.
No. It was a St. Bernard.
Are you sure?
Yeah. You should look it up.
What movie am I... Hold on, but... Do you remember a movie with a vicious dog that was a Rottweiler?
Yes. Most of them.
Maybe it wasn't Cujo, though. Maybe it was...
Hang on,
maybe it was like a like it came out the same time as Cujo. It was like, hey guys, we just gotta beat him to the punch. Like one of those B-list movies that I saw on
Yeah, but that doesn't
sci-fi.
Make sense. Because
Cujo dog.
Cujo was a book, and then Stephen King wrote it, and the story had been out for
that
a very
is indeed
long time.
A St. Bernard.
Told you.
Holy shit.
Boom.
Hold on, let me see what it looks like. Maybe it'll jog my memory.
Awesome. Hang on.
You know, one night I got very drunk, and I signed up to be a St. Bernard rescue.
There you go.
Helper.
Why?
Because I was very drunk and just looking up pictures of St. Bernards. and then Google's AdSense or whatever was just like, hey, if you're looking up pictures of these dogs, you'd probably want to, you know, volunteer your time for a shelter.
Oh, right.
And I was drunk at the time. I was like, I do. So I signed up. And then I drunkenly woke up at like 7 o'clock in the morning in a weird haze, and I see that they had already emailed me back saying, great, wow. Nadav, can you give us your address and like all this stuff? We're going to send you a dog crate and all this dog food. I was like, I can't have a monster in my apartment like that.
No.
That dog, someone is going to like come to my apartment after not hearing from me for like 3 weeks. I'm going to find the Saint Bernard just like playing around in a pool of my blood.
I love that no one shows up for 3 weeks. Like, that's how little you're valued.
Well, you know, I just don't trust people with, you know, keys to my apartment. Oh, yeah, that's Cujo.
So for 3 weeks, you just don't show up to anything, and people are like, well, what? He's probably like, fine.
Classic Nadav. Yeah. Goes off the grid for weeks at a time without telling anyone, even though he has work to go to.
Got eaten by a rabid Saint Bernard.
But we're not here to talk about rabid Saint Bernards, are we?
That's right, JJ. What are we here to talk about?
We're supposed to talk about your life.
Oh, my gosh.
Andrew?
So, God, this is the one where we could have used the intro, the aggressive one. For what's your
deal? What's the deal?
What's your fucking deal? What's your fucking deal, Andrew?
I don't really have a deal. I'm working on it.
Tell us, when did you know you wanted to make movies?
When I was... I don't know. When was that? You tell me.
I don't know.
This is your fucking interview, bud.
Oh. Okay.
Well, where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
My dad is Chuck Zuber.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not... Don't call me Mr. Zuber. That's my father.
That's right. That's right.
Did Butthead just come in here?
Yeah, and he just died.
Chuck's a nice guy. I met him.
Yeah, yep. My dad likes JJ more than he likes... Well, let's be honest, he loves JJ. And well, he thinks I'm A-okay.
Yeah, that's the easy... Like, I think everyone who's met both of you has that view on both of you.
Like, wow. Anyway.
It's like, there's JJ, the one I'd like to hang out with, and Andrew, the one he brings sometimes.
I don't see it that way.
It doesn't matter.
That's how this podcast worked.
I'm going to sell a TV show and forget about all of you.
Trust me, go for that.
So selling a TV show, how do you do that?
I don't know. You just show up and you're like, here. So, I'm from Seattle.
Yes. Okay.
My dad is Chuck Zuber.
Yep.
Home of the Starbucks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where I worked for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get to Los Angeles from Seattle?
A Saturn.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
The car,
see you
not
later.
The planet.
Yes.
A Saturn vehicle.
A Saturn. No, I always wanted to go to film school. And I came down here for something that I don't even know if it's still a thing. It was called the Media Workshops. Mm-hmm. It was kids from all over the country, and we stayed in the dorms at UCLA for a week. And we went to a taping of King of Queens, and we went to see Bowfinger on the Universal lot, and we had a writer speak to us. Hmm. And I was like, I want to go to UCLA because the waffles in the dorms are really good.
Hmm.
Mm. And that
right.
is
don't big, you make them yourself?
You do. Yeah, which means you have more control. And if you're like, I want 7 waffles, you don't have to go ask a guy. You just hang out at the waffle bar.
So is that just a roundabout way of saying that you make good waffles?
I don't... Well, the machine does all the work. I'm not going to take credit.
We should get a waffle maker.
I know. Yeah, you pour the stuff in, and then the light turns on, and then you turn it, and you open it. It's really... There's no skill.
I saw this thing on BuzzFeed where they took McDonald's French fries, they chopped them up, and then they put cheese with them, and they put them in a waffle maker.
Oh, I saw that.
Dude, yeah. That video is way longer. They put everything in a waffle
really?
Maker. Yeah. It's like, sweet. So you make like 20 different things, and they all look great. They all look really great.
And they're all waffle shaped.
Yeah, they are.
That's why we should get a waffle maker.
It's like a grilled cheese, like waffle.
Yeah, sandwich.
All day.
All day.
Actually, you know, you could just forget the bread. Just put cheese in there, and you get like a nice little waffle crisp.
And just throw away the waffle iron at the end.
A waffle-sized cheese it.
I would eat that.
So you like the waffles at UCLA?
I like the waffles at UCLA. Okay. So I said, okay, I'm going to...
Did you make any lifelong friends while you were there?
One, but I haven't talked to him in like 10 years. Anyway.
So no.
No, there was this guy, Michael, who was really cool. Anyway.
So from there, what happened?
Yeah, and so I said, this is what I want to do. I got super excited because I got picked up by the Blue Super Shuttle at LAX.
Nice.
And they like are driving us to...
I thought you said you got here in a Saturn.
This was when I went for the workshop, honey.
Okay.
This is different than when I moved here.
I'm on to you, Zuber.
I was just visiting. And I moved here in a Saturn.
So the blue super shuttle
picked us up and drove
us. The blue super shuttle?
That's what it's called.
Okay, for sure.
The
Saturn.
No.
Okay.
This is a different trip.
This is a bus from the airport.
This is a bus from the airport.
Who made the bus?
Who made the bus?
Yeah.
Probably Chevrolet. It's not a Saturn.
So not Saturn.
No.
Okay.
Different trip.
Okay, for sure.
Do you need me to write it down?
Could you?
I guess I can, yeah.
I guess so.
So the Super Shuttle, made by Chevrolet,
okay,
which is not affiliated with Saturn.
What type of gas does it take?
I don't know, diesel?
It's probably diesel.
For sure. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, it's a van. It's not a bus.
Okay.
It's like one of those eight-person vans.
Whoa, this changes
it
all.
Wait. Hold on. Rewind. It's not a bus?
Have you never seen the Super Shuttle?
So it is made by Saturn?
No.
What else is a lie, Zuber? What else is a lie?
It wasn't technically blue.
I feel like this is a pointless interview. I don't know if our listeners could trust anything that comes out of this man's mouth.
Oh, God.
So it goes... Where does it go? Oh, it drove us
down a rabbit hole.
Right, so we went to the USC campus, where I had pancakes.
USC?
I thought you said UCLA.
I
was trying to mess with you. That was a joke.
Saturn?
Okay.
All right.
Take two.
Yep.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, great to have
you. You're welcome.
So we drove to the campus at UCLA in Westwood.
Yep.
In a Super Shuttle van.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they were making a movie on the side of the road. Oh. And I was like, it's real.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. I was very excited.
They're making movies.
Yeah, even the driver's like, over there, they're making a movie. And they had a bunch of flats against a window somewhere.
Huh.
And I was like, wow, this is magical.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And yeah.
That's something you don't get in Seattle a lot, probably.
Not a ton, no.
Yeah.
Not a ton.
So how long were you for this UCLA program?
This was a week.
Okay.
Lonnie Anderson came and spoke to us. She was like, sometimes I get WKRP residuals for like $1.27. And we were like, that is amazing. What's WKRP?
One day I want to get a check for $1.25.
Yeah. So.
What did you do throughout that week at UCLA?
Well, that was home base, really. We had a talent show. I performed stand-up comedy at the talent show.
Ooh.
Hold on. What was the name of this program?
Media Workshops. Have you been listening to anything?
No. He said it at the beginning.
I did say it at the beginning.
Clearly, I'm not listening.
And if I'm not listening,
the bus is blue, right?
The bus is blue.
And it's made by Saturn.
And the dishes are done, man.
So after that, you went home.
I went home and I was like, this is what I want to go to UCLA. So I applied for UCLA and I immediately did not get in.
Yeah.
So
I was like, I already know this story.
Shocker. Yeah. I have a story.
Yeah.
So I applied to, UNLV in Las Vegas.
Okay. This is college number one.
But you don't even drink.
No, trust me. Listen, strap in, because we're going for a ride.
Okay.
Just keep the tally.
And there's no Saturn yet.
College number one.
Well, okay, so I applied for UNLV, Vegas. Because they had a film school, I guess, and I was like, why not? And my mom was like, Vegas. It's kind of close to LA, and I was like, that isn't really any logic argument I can use, but yeah. And I applied.
That's like saying New York is close to dairy cows. I don't know.
No, it's not actually.
No? Okay.
Not even.
Brilliant analogy, JJ.
I don't know. It's by farms. I don't know. Go ahead.
Hey. Okay. So I applied to... Anyway, I got into UNLV. I applied to a place called the Evergreen State College, which was my safety school.
Number two.
Which I also got into. Matt Groening, who created The Simpsons, went there.
Mm.
And I applied to Florida State. Florida State is amazing because you don't have to count Florida State.
Oh?
No. Okay. Florida State is, as far as I know, the only film program that funds their students' films because they have a big thing with the state, and so the state like funds a bunch of movies. So you don't have to pay for your own movies.
Dope.
I was like, that's awesome. And I did not get into Florida State.
Only two at
this point. Then I was making a movie in high school. And I remember we were shooting this was my senior project, was a big horror movie that I made. And I had taken the ACT. Do you remember the ACT? I took the SAT and I got like a 12. Lucky. And so that's why I did not get into Florida State. And then I took the ACT. And
it's out of 25, right?
It's 1600.
The SAT was 1600.
Yeah.
The ACT.
I got a 1600 on the SATs.
You got a 1600,
but it was the first year that it was out a 2400. The only reason that I got into the schools I did is because they just didn't figure out. I was like, is 1600 bad now?
He's either a genius or total idiot.
Wow.
Yeah, I really lucked
out. But then, and I did the whole thing with the SAT where, like, I went to bed early, and then I got up the next morning. My mom, like, made me a big breakfast. I'd taken all the classes and followed all the steps you're supposed to do, and, yeah, did terribly. I got the name part right. And then I took the ACT, went to a party the night before.
You said you got a 1,200, and you said you did terribly?
1,200
no,
was good.
No, no, no. I said I got a 12.
On the ACT? No, on the SAT?
I didn't literally get a 12.
I'm confused.
Okay, I got a 990.
When does the SAT...
You got higher than I did. Go fuck yourself.
I still didn't get into Florida State. There's a point to this story.
Okay.
I followed all the steps, and I did not do well. And then I took the ACT. I went to a party the night before. I got up the next morning, and I had, like, a piece of gum for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and I aced it.
They just said, you're done. You're good.
I got a perfect score on the ACT.
What gum?
Are you serious?
What gum was it?
No. Seriously.
Thank you for understanding. Seriously,
you got a perfect score on ACT?
Yeah, which I think was a 35, because it's a vastly different score.
Dude, I didn't know that.
That's right.
But you did get a 12 the first
amazing.
Time?
Oh, my God. So
congratulations on that.
Okay, this was like 18 years ago.
Still, I can't say that I got a 1,600 on my SAT.
To balance it out, Andrew, I still think you're dumb.
Yeah, which is true. So then I sent that to Florida State, and I was like, by the way, I just wanted to let you guys know, I'm not completely stupid. So they sent me a letter back, and they're like, never mind, you should come here. You should come to Florida State.
So
I was like,
is that number three then?
Then I told my mom, I got it. Oh, and I was making a movie for high school, and I got the letter, and I opened it up like while we were in the middle of shooting it. So I was like, "Screw this movie! I'm off to Hollywood, Florida."
In 5 months, when first semester starts,
I'm going to Tallahassee, everybody. I'm gonna be a Seminole. I didn't know what any of that stuff meant. Mm-hmm. I still don't. That's their mascot, Seminole.
An Indian.
What is that?
An Indian.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was a urethra.
I know it sounds kind of.
Like a semen hole.
But it's... So anyway...
We'll edit that out.
No, we're not.
If we remember.
So
so I told my mom, hey, I got into Florida State. She's like, that's great, but it's really far away, and there are a lot of rednecks there. And I went, oh, so I'm not going to Florida State. Mm. She's like, not on my dime. And I'm like, I don't have any dimes. She's like, then you're going to go to UNLV. So I flew to Las Vegas, and I went to film school there for 2 months.
What was supposed to be a 3-hour tour ended up being.
Oh, we've just boarded the ship.
Okay. Oh, this is
We have just gotten on board.
I'm just gonna keep the count right
here. So we're at school number one officially.
School number one.
UNLV. I went there, and I'm like, oh, I hate everything about this place. So after 2 months of doing really well in college, I called my parents and I was like, no. And they're like,
They're like, yeah.
And I'm like, but no. The film school was
really different than this.
The film school was like a hut that I think had been like a tool shed that maybe they converted into a place where they could keep like a Sony camera. And the first person I met at the film school was a graduate of the program who was working the checkout counter at the film school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like,
the
big things are happening.
Opportunities are great.
Right. So I left.
See, and I thought this was going to be a story on how, like, you discovered drinking and, like, you cracked open your first beer.
No.
The music started. Bam, 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 bam. And then you're like, oh, yeah, fucking Sixers all day, every day.
Have you met him?
Yeah, hi. Nice to meet you for the first time, apparently.
I just thought that it was a phase. Like, maybe you had the phase, you're like, oh, can't go back to that.
Oh, my Vegas phase?
Yeah.
No. Nope.
It goes back to Vegas every once in a while.
So you haven't had that phase yet?
No.
Okay, got it.
I'm almost 34.
Yep.
School.
I'll get there. Yeah, school number one.
Done.
So I left, and I went home, and I went to Evergreen State College.
Number two.
I went to an English class my first day, and we learned about Japanese, the language. We did some drawings with charcoal.
Oh.
And I called my parents at the end of the first day, and I said, no. And they were like, but yeah. And I was like, no. And my mom goes, so then.
Have you completed a full
No.
Full
year yet?
We're not even through like a semester here.
Okay.
I have 0 credits. I have 0 college credits at this point, and I've already gone to 2 schools. So
2 schools.
Then they were like, what about community college? And I was like, how about, yeah. So I went to a place called Pierce Community College, not the one in L.A. There's one in Washington. And I went there for 2 quarters, I guess. And I got some credits.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I took a screenwriting class. I think I got a C in that.
Oh.
Good yeah. job.
That's average.
Yeah. Well, you've met me, so that's about right.
Yeah, you scream average.
At best. I'm average. And so I did that for 2 quarters, and then my parents were like, you have to go to a real college. And I was like, I want to go to a real college. So then I got into Montana State University. We're at college number 4 now, Montana State. Montana is
and
great.
And what year? Like, over how many years have you done
well? The towers fell about a month after I started at Montana State, and I graduated in 2000.
Wow, that kind of dates me. Wow, okay. I see where you are now, where
I was. Not to bring things down.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
So
this was like a pre-9/11 world where you're able to hop from school to school.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
but now
because my parents are like you're
so in so in 1.5 let's call it 1.5 years you've been to 4 schools.
Let's see, I started college in the fall of 2000, and this was the fall of 2001. So in 1 year, I've now attended 4 different schools.
Jesus Christ, I feel like paperwork takes longer than that.
Yeah.
And the story is not finished, my friend.
All right. It's not even halfway. It's about halfway.
Let's keep going.
So, everybody was like, why Montana? And
why not?
The nice thing about Montana State that I will say, first of all, Bozeman is lovely. Mm-hmm. Second of all, a lot of these schools like USC, UCLA, Chapman, you're going to go and they're going to teach you a bunch of like film theory, and you're going to learn, you're going to watch a bunch of movies and deconstruct them to the point where you just hate making movies. That was my view of it anyway. Not that I know, because I never did go to any of those schools.
Mm.
But Montana, they put you a camera in your hands your first semester, and you go make a movie. And it's like, okay, now you've got that out of your system. So we made a 16mm film, which our film came back from the lab blank. I still need to go over to Photochem and talk to them about that. I think somebody owes me some money.
It came back blank, huh?
Yeah.
You guys didn't store them properly? Or
no, because we didn't know what we were doing.
Mm.
Well, you turn the camera on and then you point it at something and then
exposure
you
just press a button until it starts making a sound and then just keep going.
So what we had to do is dig through the bin of scraps in the editing room and piece together a 1-minute movie from stuff that other people had shot.
Mm.
That was the assignment, and I think I got a C on that as well. By the way,
just average across the board. This is pretty good. Hey, at least
which is pretty good considering I'd shot 0 frames of anything usable.
Dude, and some people would take that route without even shooting anything.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that's easy.
Yeah, I'll just do
guaranteed that. Guaranteed C? Let's do this.
The nice thing in Montana is you could walk in anywhere and you could be like, we want to shoot a movie in here. And they're like, all right. Would you like some free pizza? Well, you set your stuff up and you're like, yeah.
I love pizza.
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I was in Montana for 2 years. I took a bunch of film classes and
met our friend Dave.
Yeah, met my friend Dave. Yeah. I did meet some lifelong friends there that I haven't talked to in months. And although I did text Dave an emoji of a balloon the other day because I was thinking about
it. With any words or just the balloon?
Missing you. And then the balloon.
All right.
Yeah.
I was hoping it had less context.
It kind of did.
Just like the balloon.
Because I hadn't talked to him like 3 months.
Sometimes I just text emojis of ears to my friends.
That's awesome.
Just ears.
Like, I'm listening. Are your ears burning?
Or like Mickey Mouse gloves. I think there's a Mickey
That's
Mouse
a good
glove
one.
Somewhere in there. It's like, what does this mean? Why? Like, what? How would you use this?
It's a good way to start a conversation. Are you okay?
Yeah.
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 I'm great.
I have Mickey Mouse's hands.
And
that's all you need to know. So you texted
Montana,
a balloon.
Yes. And so I was in Montana for 2 years. I made. I got to make a bunch of movies with, like, I got connected with people that had graduated high school after me but were way ahead of me in college at this point.
Right.
Work on their movies. So I worked in like 4 different movies there. And it was one of them, we were like, a big part of it was set on a city bus, and we just called up this city, and we're like, we need to borrow a bus. And they're like, sure, it's going to come with a driver. And we're like, great. And you just drive around on the bus with the lady driving it around the streets of Montana. And I don't know, it costs like $100 or something for the day.
That's great.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, we were like, we're going to all go eat spaghetti at this guy's house. And the driver was like, I'll be there at 7. And we're like, sweet. So that's how Montana works.
Well, something that you kind of briefly went over is that you worked on films with people that were younger than you that were more advanced.
Better than you?
Yeah, in every way.
But that's pretty normal. Meeting people that you're like, oh, wow, that guy really knows what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
I want to be friends with him.
Well, it was good in film school because, I mean, literally Dave, the person we're talking about, got me my first job in L.A. on a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That ties into my college story, actually. We'll get there in about an hour and a half.
But what I wanted to say is it's okay. It's okay to see those people because then you know, okay, I need to get there, and it shows you a place to work.
Well, it's great because
acquired.
If you're in film school and you're like, these people are 2 or 3 years ahead of me, they're going to finish. They're going to go off to L.A., hopefully, you know, and then have low-paid jobs and be miserable. And then by the time that they're actually doing something somewhat worthwhile, you're going to be getting to L.A., and they're going to be like, hey, I remember you. You should come. And even that happened to me in film school. I worked on a movie with my buddy Dave, and then he went on to work on a bigger, still student movie, but he said, oh, I need someone to help me out. So he called me up, and I was like, yeah, that's awesome. And so we sort of worked together on like 4 different projects. But then Montana State ran out of money.
Literally.
They still had money, but it was – no. They had – their program didn't have enough money to offer enough classes for everybody. So unless you were just excelling in every way in life, which at this point we've established that I was not, you couldn't move up to the next level of class.
Really?
So I called my parents.
You had a retake?
Yeah, this Montana State.
I called my parents.
No.
I was like, no. And they're like, pick a different life, like, choice. Just, like, do anything else.
We can't keep doing this, Andrew.
And I was like,
no.
So I said, I already packed the car. So I drove back to Seattle. And I went to Bellevue Community College in Washington. For 2 quarters. We were on school number 5. And then I was like, it's time to go to L.A. And I had a Saturn at my disposal.
Oh, here it comes. Oh, this is where it ties back in, guys.
Now is it blue?
And it's green.
All right.
We meet our protagonist. The Saturn.
To be fair, I had the Saturn in Montana also.
All right.
You fucking...
I'd had the Saturn for a while.
Cheating scumbag.
I had the Saturn since school number 2.
Which one was that?
You just bring it up now.
I don't remember. Evergreen. Anyway, so I got into Cal State Northridge, and their film program...
6? Is that 6?
We're at number 6.
All
right. Their film program is hard to get into because it's in L.A., and everybody wants to get into film. So I did broadcast journalism instead because it was in the same building.
Right.
And I was like, that's close enough, whatever. I give up at this point. So I came down here and
fuck my life at this point.
6 schools in, beggars can't be choosers.
So we're at 6 schools in. It is 2003, so I'm 3 years into this journey.
That's just impressive.
That's when I graduated.
Yeah. So okay. I moved to LA and I spent the next 4 years at California State University Northridge. I was fine. Yeah. So we're at 6 schools and 7 years. And in May of 2007, I walked across that stage in front of the library, and I collected my diploma.
I'm so happy for you.
Finished.
So CSUN.
So CSUN was it?
Was the finish line?
Well, for the undergrad story, there is a graduate school story, which is much less interesting.
So 7 schools,
6 schools, 7 years.
Okay.
And I didn't even get a film degree. But I got I moved here and my buddy Dave from Montana was working on this independent movie with Jonathan Silverman in it, and he calls me up and he's like, you should come like hang out on set and just, you know, put in a couple days of work, you know. And it was an indie film, so it's like, you'll just work for free, but you're gonna meet people and like get experience. And I was like, that's awesome. So I skipped my first college class of that entire experience, and I went to work. And I got an A in that class, by the way.
Oh, congratulations.
I don't have a clue.
Good job.
Something about Eastern civilizations of the 1800s or something.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Eastern Civ.
Riveting.
Yeah.
Shit.
I think it was Eastern Civ.
Yeah.
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 108?
I don't care.
I didn't either, but I got an A in the class.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I learned about Nutella at Craft Services. Yeah. That was an awesome... And event. I showed up for like 3 days, and on the fourth day, somebody comes up to me, and they're like, have you filled out your paperwork yet? And I'm like, no, I haven't. And they're like, well, sign this. And I just started making money. So what you can do is just show up on a film set and just carry stuff around and act like you belong there, and eventually someone will be like, you know,
fill this out so we could pay you
money. And I was like, sweet. So I called my parents. No,
I'm never going to pay you back.
I'm done with this school thing.
Yeah.
I'm working as a grip now.
Yeah.
My mom's like, what is that? I'm like, I'm not sure.
I pick up a lot of stuff. I tie some knots.
Yeah. My feet hurt, Mom. She's like, oh, well, we knew one of us was going to go blue collar. Yeah, so finished school. And I'm glad I did the journalism thing because I met a friend named Adita.
Ah.
Yes.
I'm familiar with her.
Adita. Oh,
does she make shoes?
No.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Not that I know of.
Do you have a follow-up question to that? Or?
Yeah, but it was only if you were going to say yes. It was going to be, are there three stripes on that shoe?
Okay, that's...
Hey-o.
So no, you're better on. You're stronger on screen, I feel.
So I do not have. I do not have a follow up question.
No, this was Adita, not Adidas.
Edit with an A.
Edit with an A.
Oh, I see the confusion.
She's a lovely lady. Yeah. Still is.
So she came and spoke to our film class or our journalism class, and she said, "I work on a show called Your LA at KNBC, and here's what we do. And sometimes we need interns in the summer, so." I said, well, that's neat. So I
real neato.
Yeah. So I emailed her, and she put me in touch with a girl named Michelle McAllister,
also a lovely lady
working at ULA. And Michelle emails back, and she says, actually, we don't have any space for summer interns this year, but we'll keep you posted. And I was like, great.
Like, well, fuck you too, lady.
Yeah. So then I emailed her like 2 weeks later, and I said, I just wanted to check in, see if there was anything, and she was like, no. I told you still, I would call you.
Still nothing.
You did sound surprised.
Yeah.
Persistence, though.
Right. Yeah. And I gave it another probably maybe 2 weeks or something. And I forget. It's like I came up with some excuse like, well, do you know anything about the NBC internship program? Because they have this huge internship program. And she emails me back, and she was like, actually, something just opened up here. And I was like...
Dreams do come true.
Persistence, yes. And asking questions, it's good.
Yeah, so good. I came in and I started as an intern at ULA. That's where I met JJ.
You did research for a while, right?
I did research for a while, and I had my own camera, and I bought a camera. I bought a couple of lav mics for some reason. I bought all this stuff. I was like, I need a whole production facility in my bedroom. That didn't come out right. Anyway.
To make mono porns? Just porn starring you?
Yes.
And no one else?
So I was like, I have my own stuff. And they're like, well, go out and, you know, if you find something that's cool, like, go out and shoot it.
That was the thing about the show is that people, like anybody, could film something, a package,
yeah,
turn it into us, and then we would air it.
Right. And so I pitched a couple things, and there was this restaurant called Red 7 that was a Wolfgang Puck restaurant at the Pacific Design Center. So I started emailing with someone in PR or something with his company, and their restaurant was just opening. She's like, yeah, come on down. So I called a friend of mine, and I was like, hey, do you want to host a segment? And she's like, I've never been on TV before. Why not?
Perfect.
And, so we went down there, and we shot this whole thing about the restaurant and went in the kitchen. They cooked a bunch of food for us. And then we went back, and I don't know if JJ edited that segment or someone else did.
It wasn't me.
Well, you missed out.
I did.
It was big.
I think
you could have two Emmys sitting on that shelf.
I think it was Becky, actually.
I forgot about Becky.
Oh.
Anyway, so I did that. I shot a couple of other things. And at the end of 3 months, it was like, I'm an unpaid intern, but I'm having segments that I produced and shot airing on the second in the second largest market in the country, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. 8 or 9 people watched the show, I think, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But we were a daily show for a while.
Yeah, it was daily really when sweet. I was there.
Yeah.
So that's where I met and fell in love with JJ. Because I did research for like 2 months, and then they moved me over to editing because his intern in post
Kevin
left.
Stone. Kevin
Went back to school or something.
I can't remember. Because he ended up working with us later. So
okay.
But yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? He went back to school because he was an intern. Never mind. Because then I hired him after he graduated.
Oh. Got good it. For him.
Mm. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, so then I hung out in post for about a month, and then I found out about the Page program, and I went to an interview, and I basically did the same thing. I just kept calling them, and I'm like, so, I'm still here. I haven't forgotten about you.
I
would text them an emoji of an ear, which is, I don't know if the iPhone was even invented at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't.
Yeah. No. So I was a forward thinker.
Actually, it came out.
It came out 2007.
It came out during my work at ULA.
Yeah.
Because Kip was talking about it.
Oh.
He's like, I'm going to pre-order it.
Well, he did drive a Mercedes.
He did. The funny story about you.
Oh boy.
One of the last days that you were going to be interning, I had some tapes that needed to be digitized because I basically taught you how to digitize.
And which I don't know anymore, by the way.
And I said, Andrew, I need you to digitize these tapes. And you look and he looks at me and he goes, I'm not going to do that. And I go, no, you need to digitize. I need to get these done. He's like, I'm leaving. And he walks out and he turns around and he literally leaves and he doesn't come back.
I don't even remember that.
I was so pissed at you.
I must have had a good reason.
Sure.
I don't know.
But anyway, you did the Page program.
I did the Page program. I was, again, very persistent because I started during the writer's strike, which meant there was no Tonight Show, which was a big part of the Page program. And I just kept emailing them. Finally, they're like, fine, you can start on Monday. So I worked Ellen for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped you real quick from that, huh?
Yeah.
Like, well, what type of things did you do?
At Ellen?
Yeah.
Well, normally there's no training involved at Ellen. They have their own audience people, so you stand. You basically take people in groups of 10 to the bathroom. That's essentially what the job is for pages.
Okay.
And they were like, we're going to train you for like 2 weeks because there's nothing else for you to do here. So we all showed up on our first day in like suits and ties, and the girls are wearing like skirts and super high heels. And it's during her 12 days of giveaway, which is during the holidays when she gives away like wine coolers and trips to Puerto Rico and all this other stuff. So what I didn't know about these shows is when you win that stuff, you leave the lot and there's just a big pallet full of stuff and they're like, here you go. Mm-hmm. And so we're taking all these things out to people's cars in suits and ties and all that in the middle of the night. It was fun. Anyway, so I did that for a year.
So that was Ellen.
That was Ellen.
Yep.
Worked the Tonight Show when it came back. I worked in the offices of Universal Media Studios Development. So I was
with Friday Night Lights,
I was doing Friday Night Lights, The Office, Heroes, 30 Rock, and Parks and Rec was in development. So I got to read like the early version of a Parks and Rec's, the pilot.
Can we rewind a little bit?
You're such an editor. Oh my god.
Yeah, we can rewind, JJ.
I just want to say the statistics of the Page program. What they're pretty. You're a rarity to be in the Page program.
Yes, it is. Statistically, it is 7 times more difficult to get into Harvard.
Okay,
so you got into Harvard. Page program.
So
no, oh, so I did, and then I went. I called my mom. I was like, no.
Right. So you got a perfect score on the ACT. You got into something that people that can't even get into Harvard get into.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a good life going there, buddy.
One would think.
Yeah. So
it seems that way, then, doesn't it?
But so you're working at NBC. You're working for Friday Night Lights. You're working for the. Was it the EP of accounting or something? I don't know.
No, not at all.
He managed their account or something? I don't know.
Oh, there was a guy named Jerry DeCanio that shared our office, but I didn't work for him.
Okay.
I worked for a guy named Charlie Andrews, who's now the VP of drama at Fox, and mm-hmm. a woman named Lauren Anderson, who I think is still there and does their comedy stuff. Mm-hmm. So she was doing Parks and Rec and The Office.
Right. What happened?
It was a good time. Well, then, as things sometimes do, the company decided to make some changes. Mm-hmm. And so the Catherine Pope, who was the president of our department at the time, and then she went over to a company called Chernin, and now she's somewhere else, and I forget. Peter Chernin. She's somewhere else. Anyway, she was amazing. She went over to an office next door to ours and met with Ben Silverman, who was running the show at the time. And in the time that it took her to walk from his office back to our office, which was maybe a four-minute trip, I learned about the power of Deadline Hollywood. Because Deadline.com said before she got back to our office that she had been fired. And I went,
whoa.
This site is
powerful. No way.
Whoa.
So she gets back, and she calls everybody into her office, and she's got a big smile on her face. She was fine. She said, I've been fired. And that was a Friday. And she was going to stay through the end of December of that year, and that was like mm-hmm. early-ish December. And then Monday comes, and our office was like a big circle sort of shape. Mm-hmm. And everybody's offices lined the outside, and you could hear phones ringing in the offices around the office, and that was HR calling people, telling them that they were being fired.
No.
Right. So at the end of this whole thing, 13 people in our department got fired.
What a treat.
Getting fired's fun.
Yeah, Variety called it the NBC pre-holiday peacock bloodbath. Which I was like, that's good.
That rolls writing off the tongue nice.
Yeah.
They should be writers for NBC. If you can remember.
If someone should.
Sounds like a Carrie spinoff.
Yeah. The movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And from there, what happened?
So we canceled our Christmas party for the department.
Oh, no. You guys should keep drinking. I was like,
dude.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so a lot of people got fired, and then my year was up as a page. They extended me for a month, so I was a page for 13 months, which is also something that doesn't really happen because mm-hmm. it's a year-long program.
Right.
And then I didn't work for 3 years after that.
What did you do in those 3 years, Andrew?
I did day of work as a PA on a show called Destroyed in Seconds, which is how I was feeling about my life at that point.
Right.
And it was on the Discovery Channel.
Did you go on a walkabout or something, perhaps?
Did I go outside?
Do you know what a walkabout is?
Nope.
It's basically you go out into nature and you walk around and...
Until you die, right?
Well, no, you until
live
you...
Live in a bus
until
in Alaska?
Until you kind of have an epiphany.
Oh, no.
And then you come back to civilization.
I thought that's what old people in old tribes do when they're too old to care for. They just kind of...
They put them on an ice floe and they push them out.
Well, not,
like a Viking?
No. They just kind of walk out into the snow and they just keep walking until they fall.
we were in L.A., so there wasn't a lot of snow.
So it's not that.
So we walked a long way.
Yeah. Got really tired.
For sure.
Eventually I was like, well, I've never lived in Europe before. I should try that. And I called my mom, and she was like, no. And I was like, but here's the thing. Yes. And she was like, I see your point.
But what did you... You did that. You went there for a reason.
I went there for a reason. You can't just go live in Europe. You have to have sort of a function, because otherwise they'll kick you out of the country. So right. I went to grad school. So I got into the University of Wales, which is a place... And I went there and I did a program in international business. A typical grad school master's program takes like 2 years to do. Mm-hmm. Did mine in 10 months.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, made up for a little bit of lost time there.
Yeah.
Spent about $24,000 of my parents' money.
The question is, does it all equal out?
Nope. I did write my dissertation on a fictional merger between two television networks to try and keep it relevant.
Right.
So I was back here for Christmas and I interviewed a couple of my former bosses at NBC. So I was like, I'm still relevant. You guys remember me, kind of. They didn't.
So the
dissertation...
Do you have that still? Because I'd still love to read it.
That dissertation has been published in three different languages. Actually,
oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I didn't know you know three different languages.
Don't. I don't. Not a clue.
Oh, they got other people to translate?
Yeah. Okay. They were like, here.
That's how that works.
Yeah. So it was based... My thing was, I always thought it'd be interesting if they could show Dexter on NBC. How would that work? Because Dexter would get, like, 2.5 million viewers on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
But NBC has more eyes on it. So how would that work? And it turned into, how could you combine NBC and Showtime into one place?
Right.
And it turns out I wrote 76 pages on this. And at the very beginning of the dissertation, you have to write what your idea was and then what the outcome is.
Right.
So at the beginning of this 76-page document, I said, everything you're about to read is complete crap because this would never work for any reason. But if you have a couple of hours and you know Swedish, go ahead and read this, I guess. And these people are like, I don't know what NBC is because I live in Sweden.
Hmm.
So it wouldn't work for lots of reasons.
Well, did you know that Dexter was actually played on CBS for a while?
It was, and that was part of my research.
Oh.
And it turns out that didn't really work.
Did not work at all.
They don't like murder on that show?
Well, the thing CSI. Yeah, but...
Not that graphic.
Yeah, you have to cut out all the good stuff. Like, Mad TV once did this amazing sketch of where... Remember PAX TV?
Mm-hmm.
So they did sketch about showing the Sopranos on PAX. Yeah, and it made no sense.
I have that on tape somewhere.
It's amazing. It's spectacular.
Yeah, you just hear breaths pretty much.
Yeah.
Breaths in between curse words.
Yeah. And they don't bleep anything. They like cut scenes entirely, like sections of scene. So a guy will be at the fridge and then it jump cuts to now he's standing at the sink because they've cut 40 seconds. Anyway, genius.
Yeah,
like a stripper comes into the office and he unbuckles his pants and then it cuts to him buckling his pants back up.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Thanks,
Toots. That's awesome. So I finished that, came home, came back to LA. What was I driving?
I just want you to know we are about 45 minutes into this podcast and we're still not out of school yet.
No, he's out of school.
A different school. Okay, I came back to LA. I got an internship at Kaplan Staller, which is an agency in Beverly Hills. I worked there for a year, and they were like, hey, you should not be an intern here anymore. And I called my mom, and she was like, stop calling me. I don't have any money left. And then
Hold on, so they let you go?
No. Right when I was about to leave. Amazing. I met a bunch of people. I read a bunch of scripts. I worked for the two heads of the place, Mitch Kaplan and Elliot Staller, who make a lot of money. Because they packaged Frasier. That was like their big claim to fame. And they also did Wings, which is even cooler in my opinion.
When you say they packaged Frasier, what does that
mean? It's basically like they had the... I don't know the exact auspices on the show, the positions, but it's like we represent the writer of this, we represent the executive producer, and we represent like a bunch of the above-the-line type people. So
they represented all the people that pretty much made the show.
Yeah, so for instance, CAA packaged The Good Wife. So if a CAA client, like Rosemary, who was on our show, when she does The Good Wife, she doesn't have to pay commission to the agency because they're already making money off the show.
Oh, cool.
Because they packaged it. So they get like a packaging fee. Some agencies have like a packaging agent, like that's their whole thing.
Yeah.
Kaplan Staller is a little bit smaller, so they didn't have that. But anyway, I was there, and then I was about to leave, and this guy named Jonathan Baruch called one of the agents, and he worked at a management company called Rain Management Group, and he said, do you guys have any interns? Because we need an assistant over here, and we're looking for somebody. And this guy, Bradley, was like, I got a guy. I'll send him over right now. So that was at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I'll send him over right now.
Yeah, that's how he talks. That was at 10 o'clock in the morning. I interviewed at noon, and at 3 o'clock, Jonathan called me, and he said, you're hired. So
nice.
It had been 3 years since I'd had like actual paying work, save for like the odd day of temp pay here and there.
Okay.
Right.
So I worked at the Rain Management Group for 2.5 years. Then they had a client who created a show called Stitchers. And they were like, you're going to go work on Stitchers now because you're worthless and you don't want to be here anyway. And I was like, I know, right? So then I went and I did the pilot for Stitchers. And then I went back to the Rain Management Group and they paid me for 3 months, even though they didn't need to. And then Stitchers got picked up to series. And so I went back as the writer's assistant. And I did that for 11 episodes. And then we went on hiatus. And then Rain was like, I guess you can come back here because we're like your Hollywood parents now. And I was like, I love you guys. So they took me on for the summer. And then at the beginning of August, we went back for season two of Stitchers.
Oh, my.
That's where I am now.
Scene. It was a good show.
Mise en scène.
Wow, you really put, I said that school line, over a and lot then you of, just fucking plowed right towards the end, huh?
Yeah. I skipped over a lot of really relevant, important information.
I almost regret it.
Well, okay, here's the thing.
What did you learn?
Well, people, first of all, I'm glad I worked in representation, because if you want to be, especially if you want to be a writer or an actor or a director or a producer, you're going to have an agent at some point or a manager. And it was awesome to see the agency side of things and the management side of things, just to kind of learn like what the deal making process looks like and who can do what. A lot of people are like, why do you need an agent and a manager? And it's like, they sort of have different functions. Managers can produce your material. So like Rain Management, where I worked, the guys there are producers on Stitchers, but the creator, Jeff, his agent, would not legally be allowed to produce a project.
Gotcha.
Because he's the agent. Anyway. And management is a lot more like hand-holding, like, can you book me a car? Or like, my tummy hurts. And so then you like send them some Tums, and I don't know.
Right.
I learned how to be a good client, how to not annoy people. I annoy a lot of people.
Yeah.
Nadav is, I'm surprised he's still sitting here.
JJ asks, like, begs me to come in every week. Just like, please look past Andrew.
He wants you to move in, is what he's saying.
I know.
Please. This could be your room.
I know his ancestors probably killed your ancestors, but, you know, just try and look past
it. Took me a second. I was like, who is an Indian? I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm
and
ancestors,
then I made the connection.
Saying ancestors, what I mean is grandparents.
Right. Right. My grandma's going to be on the podcast next week.
Oh, I can't wait to look into her eyes and say the things that I plan to say.
She's it's going to be awesome.
We should totally have her on.
We'll fly her down here.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I worked in management because I was able to meet a ton of clients and like make a lot of connections. I went out and I shadowed on The Good Wife with Rosemary because I, you know, want to direct, and they were very supportive of that. I wouldn't recommend like going into an interview and being like, I definitely don't want to be a manager, because they're going to be like, well, thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, get the fuck out.
Yeah, have a good day.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I said in my interview, but I do remember that eventually they were like, oh, you want to make movies and you want to write and you want to direct and you don't want to have anything to do with representation. And it was awesome, these guys, because I was able to go in and one of the guys, Rob, just called me in the office one day for some reason. He needed something. And at the end, he's like, so you don't, I mean, you really, you don't want to work in management in any capacity, right? And I was like, hell no. And and that's how I said it.
It's like, great, this is going to be easier then.
Yeah.
Andrew, turn in your keys. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Some places, like, there are agencies where if they find out that you don't want to be an agent, they will let you go.
Really?
Yeah. And I know a couple people that have that's happened to from a couple different specific agencies that will...
Yeah. Remain nameless.
I won't name any names, but there are letters.
Well, yeah, because they have like all these clients, and if all they're of them not are planning on sticking around for a while, then it's like it's kind of pointless for the company to be like, yeah. Oh yeah, hey, thanks for like catering to these people that you're not like we're not gonna get the spillage overage of your relationship with them.
I mean, I felt like for me it was nice in a way because I learned enough about the management business to then, but I was still wanting to do the creative thing. Like that's when we shot Heart was when I was working there and I was writing a script and I was kind of learning about that side of things. And it was like when the client called in and they're complaining about something, it was sort of like I could, you know, I got where they were coming from. Yeah, obviously like I'm not directing television shows, but I was, you know, I understood what their frustration was. Mm-hmm. Whereas the manager might be a little more like, I'm going to figure out how to manage it, even though I don't really fully understand. So it was like if somebody was calling in and they're complaining about something, you know, I could talk to them first and be like, I totally get that. And here's, you know, you're sort of like validating their feelings because that's what you want to do. I'm not saying that that's what every management company and agency is looking for, because that's probably not the case.
Right.
But, yeah. And it's because I was there that I got Stitchers.
Right.
And, really because I got to make the movie that we made because they were the ones that helped me push that, and Rosemary.
So. Yeah.
And now I wrote a script, and there's some interest there from places about the script. So
yeah, we'll see what happens. Cool. Yeah, development, man. I hope it goes into it.
I do too. We'll see. And now I have a manager, and so. And she's crazy.
Oh.
She's completely out of her mind, and that's why she's so awesome at what she does.
Oh, my.
Because I told her, I said, I think you just call people and you annoy them until they give you what you want. And she's like, it's worked so far, and I make a lot of money. And I'm like, okay.
I think I should become a manager.
Be a 10%er? Well, the thing is, all you need is 10 10%ers, and anything over that, you're just all on the green.
Yeah. That's why clients are like, oh, well, it's great. Like, I'm not working, and you're not going to get that piece of commission. I don't have another job. You have like 30 other jobs because you've got all these other clients that are making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So yeah, you should become a manager.
Some of these people have it easy, you know.
No. Well,
that's it.
Hold on.
If you want to be a writer, then you should write.
Do you guys hear something?
Nope.
You guys hear that?
Nope.
Mm-mm, what?
Do you guys?
Nope.
These are some sound bites.
Oh,
is from the Dawes childhood.
Is that Jack?
Hold on to your butt.
These are some fucking sound bites.
Sound bites. Super cool sound bites.
This is a chopper!
From the Dawes childhood. Get ready for some sound bites from the Dawes childhood.
It's been a very long time.
It's been a minute.
We haven't played this in months.
Yeah.
And that's because I couldn't come up with any new sound bites that I didn't already use. For all I know, I've already used some of these. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
One thing's for sure, Andrew's going to lose, JJ's going to win. We already know that, right? Yeah. But, you know, it's going to be fun getting there.
Yeah, it is. And this time you can look right into my eyes when we're listening to the soundbite, Andrew.
All right.
I always look right into your eyes.
So, Andrew, since you're our guest, I'll explain the rules to you. This is a game called Soundbites from Nadav's Childhood.
Now, who's Nadav?
That's me.
Oh.
I'm Nadav.
Right.
I've been one of the co-hosts. So, I have picked 5 soundbites from Nadav's Childhood. That's me.
Okay.
And you have to guess where that soundbite is from. Most likely it's from a movie. All these are from movies this time.
We should do TV sometime.
Yeah.
We should.
Okay.
Because you have a lot of material to... You know,
let me think.
Choose from.
See, but it'd be all stuff from my childhood. So it'd be like Power Rangers and Chippendales.
Whatever.
DuckTales.
Doesn't have to.
So you've given away 3 of them.
Some people say that you're not out of your childhood.
I've been told plenty that I am still very much a child.
See, so
JJ talks about it. Sometimes he'll just text me and he'll be like, "Nadav is such a child."
He's not wrong.
And I'm like, it's 3 in the morning. Why are you waking me up with this? He'll slide a note under the door.
It's becoming an issue.
He's got the phones tapped.
So this is.
I'm having a very good time right childhood. Now.
You guys, when you call in, when you buzz in, your buzzer is your name.
All right.
So if you know something, you say JJ. And Andrew, if you know something, you say Andrew.
Right? Thank you for telling me my name. Yep. That's good to know.
Yep.
What if I go with Charles?
You could do it.
Well, then I won't pick on you because I don't.
It's Charles technically your name.
Here. Charles is technically my name.
All right, guys, I'm going to play the first one right now. You ready?
Yep.
Yep.
All right, here's the first one. Don't look at the screen.
I can't see it because your fat body's in the way. I love how we always make the same face when we're trying to figure it out.
Do you guys know what that was? You guys want to hear it again?
Is it Ralph? Is it Ralph?
Like Wreck-It Ralph? Maybe. What do you mean, Ralph?
Well, that's what it sounds like. You can do it, Ralph.
Is it,
No, they're saying Bruce.
Oh, is it Bruce?
Yeah, you can do it, Brucey.
Oh, it sounded like Ralph.
I'll play it again.
I definitely.
You can do it,
Brucey! Oh.
It sounds terrible, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's because it's a camera taping.
No, I mean the movie itself sounds terrible.
ABC Family.
Oh, Stitchers.
No.
I give up. I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't. Is it a sports movie of some?
Nope. This is from the movie Matilda. when the principal Trunchbolt, she comes and she's like, "Hey, you fat kid, come over here and eat this gigantic chocolate cake.
Eat the chocolate cake." And I was just talking about that yesterday.
And it's funny that you didn't know where this was from.
Huh.
You fraud.
Wow. Good job.
I didn't get it.
I know. All right, Nadav gets one.
Nadav gets 1 point. Oh, yeah, and I forget. The winner gets a jar of fermented sauerkraut. Okay.
She's never delivered.
I'm fine with that, by the way.
Okay,
why do you think I lose every time?
Here's the next bite.
I'm not really losing.
Here's the next bite.
Tell me about it. I used to model.
Lucky for you, I am an honorable man.
What? I'm sorry?
I said I am an honorable man.
I'm sorry, honorable?
Honorable.
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 Honorable. Honorable. Honorable.
Honorable. I think you're trying to say honorable.
Shut up!
All right, JJ.
Dude, where's my car?
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, shibby.
Honorable. Wonderful.
We were just watching that, weren't we?
After watching that in college, I would say I said shibby for the next 3 months.
I'm so glad that went away.
We all did.
Shibby.
That actually caught on. That's crazy that it caught on. For sure. Okay, here's the next one.
Oh, boy. I'm so
Do you see this writing? Do you know what it means? Hospitality. And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Oh, man.
JJ, you should definitely know.
I know. I won't allow it. It's so...
You don't piss on hospitality. He won't allow it.
Oh, man.
You don't know it, JJ?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I know that soundbite, but
Can we hear it again?
Yeah. Surprised how clean it is.
It's very clean.
Do you see this writing? Do you know what it means? Hospitality. And you can't piss on hospitality. I won't allow it.
Oh, dude.
I have not a clue.
Yeah, I'm
Andrew Ball's in your court.
I'm out.
That is from the movie Troll 2. Troll 2.
Never saw it.
it is there's a documentary made about it called Best Worst Movie. And I think one of my blogs might have been a critique on it.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And Troll 2 is literally the funniest, worst movie you've ever seen. There is no Troll 1. If there is, it has nothing to do with Troll 2. There's no relation. Like, it starts at Troll 2. And
interesting.
And the movie doesn't even call them trolls. It calls them goblins. So it's like, why is this called Troll 2?
Huh.
There's a distinct part of the documentary where, like, they're having midnight showings of the movie. And the director thought that his movie was a complete failure. And so he's back in the States. He's like, hey, let us take you to a midnight showing. And he sees this gigantic crowd that's going to see Troll 2. And he's like, oh my gosh, I knew that everyone was wrong and I was right. And I made a movie that was worth something. And he's like talking to all these people. He's like, this is wonderful. These are my fans. These are my people. And then like they're watching the movie and like everyone just treats it like a complete joke. Like it's like a Rocky Horror Picture Show showing. And at the end, he's like, you know, it was very strange. They were laughing at the parts that they were supposed to laugh at, but then they were laughing even harder at the parts that they were not supposed to laugh at. It's like, poor guy. But it's a wonderful movie.
Well, Nadav is 2.
Yeah, I'm doing real well this game.
I think he's going to win his own sauerkraut.
I think that's going to be...
That's fine.
I don't know. I think that's going to be the last point I get. It might be a tie between me and JJ.
Oh, great.
All right, here we go. Here's the next one.
You can do it! Cut his fucking head off!
JJ.
JJ.
Waterboy.
Ding, 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 ding.
Rob Schneider.
That one's kind of loud.
Yeah, it was a little piercing. I'm going to turn this down a little bit. It's literally on full blast.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's tied right now.
All right, so Nadav 2, JJ 2, and Andrew, surprising, shocker, 0. Here's the next one.
I'm a solid bet, man.
Oh, fuck.
Pod's moving in storage.
I need to clean out my study.
Pods moving in storage. Sorry, Andrew, pods moving in storage.
All right, you ready?
That was an ad.
Got it.
Skip ad in 1, it's just 2, totally fine. 3.
Hey, they just got free advertising on the show.
Really? And he'd be walking up to people going, hey, boy. Hey, boy.
JJ?
I didn't know this was allowed.
Now, see, I might get this wrong because, but I think it's Eddie Murphy, Delirious.
Ding, 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 ding. Congratulations, JJ. You have won a fictional jar of sauerkraut.
Congratulations.
Well, that was fun.
Yeah, that was a blast from the past, huh, guys? Yeah,
it was good times.
That was actually the smallest, or actually the biggest sliver of audio that I could get from Delirious that is still okay in today's climate and social climate. Drops a lot of F-bombs in there and not the fuck word.
Oh.
No.
I was watching it like a couple months ago. I was eating dinner with my friend, and like I don't think I'd ever like sat down and actually watched it. I've just seen bits here and there. And like we're like, all right, let's press play. And like, F this, F that. And I'm like, holy shit, this is uncomfortable.
That was the 80s climate.
Yeah, it was like real crazy. Like today it's like straight up hate talk. It's nuts.
Yeah.
I like that.
We've progressed as a society, guys. Well, anyways, that was this game of Soundbites from Adolf's Childhood.
Yep,
JJ, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, proud of you.
Andrew, as usual, I'm not surprised with your results.
Me neither.
It's okay, buddy. You'll win one.
Yeah, if we could do more of those 80s or 90s TV themes.
Oh, you mean kids' movies?
Nailed it. No, man. You did like Step by Step and Full House.
Kids' shows?
Sure.
For sure.
Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope Andrew's story.
No one learned anything.
Yeah, I hope you learned.
Somebody learned
to go
something.
To 7 schools in 3 years.
I doubt anybody. Perseverance, people. It pays off.
It does. So you got a degree. You got 2 degrees.
I'm writing a script this year.
Good shit.
Good job, buddy.
Of a produced television series.
Hooray.
All right.
Nice job.
All right. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Andrew. You're a piece of shit as always.
Thanks.
And have a great night. Everyone have a great day.
Follow us on
Twitter.
Are you
struggling? Are you okay?
Are you having a stroke?
Yeah. I haven't done this in a while, man. I forgot how we sign off.
It smells like toast. Will we talk about our Twitters?
Follow us on Twitter.
Right. You can follow JJ on Twitter at
JJGeiger711. Andrew at
The Real Zuber. Nadav at
Very Nadav Show. And you can follow us, Early Call Time, at Early Call Time.
Yeah.
You could email us, earlycalltime@gmail.com.
You could call us or text us. We haven't given that out in a while, and Nadav's not going to remember it.
He's fucking
knowing. 2-6... 262.
Nope.
266.
Already failed.
255.
Already failed.
265.
1984.
253.
267-225-CHAT. See, guys, I almost got it.
267-225-24. 2-8.
Oh, God. All right.
You can send a voicemail. You can text us.
Mm-hmm.
Questions,
horror stories.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, horror stories are good.
And and I think that's it, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Sweet deal.
Be successful.
Listen to the outro.
Listen to the outro.
And that's a wrap. Didn't get your fill at Craft Services and you want more? Check out earlycalltime.com for more podcasts and information pertaining to the ever-growing entertainment industry. And remember to tell your friends about us via Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.